and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Yes.
Hooray! Hooray, hooray.
That's very cheery.
I'm sorry.
That's right, you can be cheery.
Fool's Daily. Who are off again?
Yeah. It's Conrad. Mike.
Yeah. Me, Conrad.
What are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about something happy and new and shiny and blingy and lovely. It's the Wrath of Kings Kickstarter.
Yes.
Initial impressions. Dun, dun, dun.
That was very good.
That's all right. I can do voiceovers if you want.
Oh, nice. So, yes, Wrath of Kings.
Have you got your stuff yet, Mike?
I have.
Because I think loads of people were being really mean and nasty to you.
Yeah, because mine came 2 days after they first started delivering it.
Yeah. Do you know why that is?
Because they hate me.
They couldn't find you.
They couldn't find me in Norfolk. No. No, because other people in Norfolk who live more remote than I do got theirs.
Well, then clearly it's the option B. They don't know who you are.
But everyone knows who I am. Surely it's all about me.
You need to write a firm email to the people that come on.
Dear BBC.
Points of view.
Yes. So Wrath of Kings has arrived.
I have my stuff.
I have my stuff.
I have my Technis, House of Technis stuff.
Well, I had my Gorizi, and the other faction I got was Shell Han.
Okay.
The other day, Mr. Matt Spooner came over to my house.
Oh, he's got a fetish for all that sort of Oriental stuff.
And we were talking about Wrath of Kings, and he said, oh, it's just as well there isn't an Oriental faction. And I said, what, you mean this Oriental faction? And he said things that I can't say on the show, and then took all the Oriental stuff away. So I no longer have a Shellhan faction. Mr. Spoons has it.
What was it that did it for him? Was it the dragon?
No. I don't think he ever saw Fung the Devourer. It was just the whole thing. And he just went, oh, yes. And the rule book's available for free to download. So he's been downloading that and reading through the rule book and things and going, oh, this looks really good. So I don't know if he started to build any, but. He has been suckered into it. And there's a few other people around who've got it as well. So,
does that include Mr. Patrick, possibly?
No, Mr. Patrick doesn't have it. Mr. Shepherd has some. And the Rose twins have some. And Scott has some as well. So
you have a small pair base, possibly?
There's a little group of us who have it, so we'll be playing some games. I've got a game booked at the club for next month to get some games in. Looking at the speed of how it should play, you'll probably get 2 games in a session.
Yeah, especially as the first game will be, I haven't got the clue what I'm doing.
Yes.
But initial thoughts from me were I was hopeful that the models were going to... I mean, one of the main reasons I went for this game was the look of the models.
Back
the Kickstarter. So, Rich, aka Workbench Warrior on Twitter, had been fortunate enough. He knows one of the owners of Cummin, I believe, or something like that. And he got, earlier than anyone else in the UK, I believe, a set of all the faction figures. And he'd started to put pictures of the models and make us all very, very jealous. But one of the things it showed potentially was the quality of the Restic sculpts.
Yes.
So I was kind of happy about that, and I was it set expectations for me in terms of how painful the cleanup process would be.
Yeah. I think so. The last lot of Restic stuff that I had from Come On was Relic Knights.
Yep.
And I believe we said in the time when we were talking about it, the large sculpts on Relic Knights are awesome. The smaller sculpts, the 30mm based sculpts, can be very, very hit and miss.
Yep.
And my worry about the Wrath of Kings figures is that they would be the same.
Same for me. I mean, I think the Relic Knight sculpts are hit and miss. And it's not necessarily on... I don't think it's necessarily model sized either, but I think that adds to it. And I've had some weird things there, you know, with missing pieces and missed sculpts and things like that. So I've had to deal with different things that I've never dealt with a figure company before, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they weren't bad, you know?
No, they weren't. In my opinion, the Wrath of Kings figures are 2, 3, 4 steps above the Relic Knights ones.
Yeah, so it makes me wonder how this has been achieved, for a starter.
Yeah.
The models are generally bigger, though, but certainly my house technis guys are bigger than, you know, your normal small 28, 32 mil, 38, 30 mil figure. They're chunkier, so I'm guessing that may have something to do with it for starters.
Oh, you see, the Gorizzi, the vampire ones, so the 30 mil based ones, they're as fine and fragile as the, you know, any 28 mil model, and they're perfect. They're really, really good sculpts. They're not chunky. At all.
Apart from the naked ladies.
No, I don't have any of those. That's Nazir. That's the reason that I don't have the Nazir.
They're great figures, though. I have seen them.
Yeah.
I am wondering, have they used a different company to do them? Has they used a different process? I don't know, but
I wonder if it's a different process, because if I look at things like, so one of my figures is called the Dancing Master.
Mm-hmm.
And they have segmented armor, you know, overlapping plates, so that when you moved it would
yep.
bend with you. And the detail on that is really, really crisp. And this is a tiny, it's a lady vampire, effectively, and it's the armor is a lady vampire. The armor is really, really good and sharp. You know, the edges are sharp.
The pointy things are sharp.
Well, the pointy things. Interestingly, the pointy things came on a separate sprue.
So
of a finer restic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So these models come. So certainly the box set came in a box. Everything came in a box, yep. But all the figures are pre-wrapped in sealed airtight bags, essentially, aren't they?
Pre-snipped. Each individual model is in a baggie, so there's no sorting out what pieces go with which body or anything. A metric ton of stuff.
Yes, I mean, we all got a load of extra stuff because the Kickstarter did so well. And subsequent to us receiving it, reading the rules, and finding out a bit more about it, it would appear that the stuff that we have is something that we will probably never use. So expect to see stuff on eBay if you want to get into the game.
Definitely. I mean, I have... So... I put together the starter box.
Yeah, because you're not as OCD.
I'm not as fastidious as.
Oh, you've been complimentary about it, are you?
No. I mean, I know that it's sloppy, and I know that I will clean up stuff as I go. But as I've said before on the show, if there's a mold line underneath the legs, you know, in the arch of the legs that you're not going to see during play, I'm not going to clean it off.
Yep, that's fine.
Because I don't care. You can't see it when you're playing. See, he's gone silent. He's cursing underneath him. He's going,
okay. Why wouldn't you do this? No, I'm not. No, I agree with you. I mean, part of me just wants to slap things together, but especially as these models do go well together. You know, there are
really...
there are a few gaps.
I think one of the werewolf sculpts had some problems with one, because one of the things they did in the Kickstarter is they gave, when you hit a certain stretch goal, they did a load of alternate poses.
Yep.
And most of the alternate poses are the same body and the arms are posed differently and stuff. So one of the werewolf types got an alternate pose, and so the sockets for the arms are slightly different. And I did have to clip the pegs slightly to get them to fit. But when I got them fitted, they're very good. But yeah, I mean, you got a massive amount of stuff. So I've built everything that I need. I have all the options that are in the rule book ready to go. More figures based than you can use in the biggest size of game that they have.
Yep.
And I still have enough Gritzy stuff that I could sell it and the person who bought it would have the next size down Battle Force.
Which is pretty impressive, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I have additional spares as well, because there was, you know, get the extra specialist. So I bought an extra specialist box, but I don't actually need it.
No, because the way the game, which we'll come on to now, is the way the game works is there are different, like many popular tabletop games, there are different levels or points levels of the game, but it doesn't use your traditional points level so, as such. It uses the troop types, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the thing that I think it's closest to that I've ever played is Saga.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have said it's confrontational-esque, but I've played Confrontation.
I never played that. I mean, certainly the figures look confrontational-esque, because as I was putting the werewolves together, I was thinking that the bloke who did the werewolves has been paid about four times for the same sculpt.
He must be.
Because they are. I mean, you know, if you took one of those and you put them next to Confrontation Wolfen,
yes,
then you'd go, it's the same model.
Do you reckon if he was asked to sculpt a human or a dwarf, he'd be able to?
No.
We've probably done him a disservice there.
We probably have.
We'll get sued now. Again.
I'm sure he can. So we've just covered ourselves. No, I mean, so you play at basic point level. And so the biggest game, the recommended game, you play with 24 level 1 infantry, 5 level 1 leaders, and I think it's 4 level 1 specialists.
And they have this concept of cashing upwards as such, or increasing. So 12 level 1 infantry can also be 6 level 2 infantry.
Yeah, but you don't even have to do it like that. You could have 20 level 1 infantry and 2 level 2 infantry.
Yep.
Because there's no unit sizes. The formations are completely up to you.
And this is the thing that, you know, the whole concept of unit coherency and things like that is
there isn't any.
Yeah.
That's what makes it interesting, and that's the thing that I'm going to be interested to see how it plays, because I think in my standard army, I think you have 40 models. Now, each of those models activates individually. The rule sequence is basically do a move, take an action, then that model's done.
Yep. But you have this sort of the warlord type ability in the Saga where these leaders can.
Yes. So the leaders have a control radius, which is 6 inches.
With me.
And effectively, models within 6 inches of a leader, you can get them to all activate at the same time.
Yep.
So you can have little units built around your leader. So it does make the commander control very important. Because if your leader is killed, then your leaders get killed, your ability to do effectively combined assaults
and do goes stuff away. In general, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Goes away, and you're activating, you know, one model at a time. I think I'm going to have to come up with some sort of token or something to show that a model was activated.
Well, that sounds like something that bendyboards.co.uk could do.
Well, it doesn't. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to do it, but something because otherwise you will get confused.
Yeah.
So the models come on. The models have cards, but it's not one card per model. It's one card per type of model.
So it's like a generic stat card for that.
It's a stat. It's a stat card for the model, rather than identifying the individual model. Art design is a very personal thing. I quite like the design of the cards. I particularly like the fact that all the text for an ability is on the card.
Yep.
Which
means you don't have to go. I mean, as I said in a previous episode, I've been playing a little bit more of Relic Knights, and one of the frustrating things with Relic Knights is having to go backwards and forwards to look at abilities, specifically abilities, because they've got cards for the various entropy related actions and things like that, you know, whether you're a master or an initiate.
But I'm sure that the fact that we haven't used much of those is because they're not on the main unit card. You have to go and find the separate card that has those abilities on
it. But then there is, that's the other thing I was going to mention, is the fact that they do have this separate card. And even though I've put mine back to back, I'm actually thinking of sleeving them individually still. Because you have to keep flipping the card over. And especially when you're trying to build your hand for the next unit in the queue, you have to keep flipping it, and I just think I might just put them out. But anyway,
So anyway, so they have cards. The card design, the mechanics of the game, I think, are very interesting.
Yes, there's some really interesting things. Like a lot of games have this concept of engagement, and when you have to disengage, there is usually a penalty in terms of a free strike or a. You have to try and get away in Malifaux, don't you? This approaches it in a different way, in that you have to give up movement.
Yep.
And I found that very interesting.
Yeah. I think for me the most interesting rules mechanic is the attack chart.
Well, we get to use different deces.
Well, we get to use D10s.
I've got my teal D10s already.
I'm going to order some new ones.
these are bought off S&M stuff, the place where I went to the airbrush. I bought dice off them before, so...
Yeah, I'm going to order some new ones because I don't have ones that are the right colour.
And they're Chessex as well.
So basically the way it works, if you're going to make an attack, so let's say you've manoeuvred your models around, so you're next to the model you want to attack. So you make an attack action.
Mm-hmm.
So you look on your back of your card, and it will tell you what your attacks are, and it will tell you how many dice you have to roll. How many deces you have to roll. So you might have to roll four. So you roll your four D10s, and then you see what numbers you've got. And then you look at a chart that is on the defender's card.
Yep.
And the defender's card has a chart that goes from 1 to 10, and it has different symbols on it. And you basically match up your dice.
See how many strikes you get, is it?
With the symbols. Yep. And so some of the symbols are like parry. Those dice are just thrown away. You know, your opponent has parried them away. And eventually, as you get higher up, again, the charts are designed so that the better you roll, the closer to 10 you roll, the more chance you are of getting a hit.
Yep.
And certainly most of the models that I've looked at, on the 10, they have a little skull, which is a critical. So you do two hits. And that's how it is. And that's how armor and things is taken into account for as well. So there's no... It's basically just one roll. There's no opposed dice rolling or anything like that. It's you roll a dice. And that's what happens. So if I look at one of my infantry, a war dancer... 1 to 5, you'll miss her. It's either a little star thing, and I can't remember what the little star thing is, or
it means it's a star,
or the arrow, so she dodges. 6 to 9 is a lightning bolt, which is a hit, and 10 is a skull, which is a double hit. And then she has so much life and stuff that. to see how she survives. I mean, so Zeti has one life. So if she takes a hit that does that one life, then she dies.
Yep.
But then you have abilities.
The star is magic. There you go.
Star is magic?
Yeah. Some form of magical defense.
Defender possesses some form of magical defense and mystically defeats the attack.
Mm.
Magic star results can potentially cause a magic backlash. Oh, so don't attack her with magic then.
Unless you're wearing special pants. Yeah, so then you've got that love, that side of things. And then I think the other thing that I found interesting was the deployment. They have these zones.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say... Models also have a resilience. So your base... The War Dancer, for example, again, she has one resilience and one wound. Now, what resilience means is that you take a hit... you take a damage... Every time you receive hits equal to your resilience. So basically one hit will do a damage to a war dancer. Yeah. But if I look at one of my character models, like Nestra Nostrolo, then she has a resilience of 2. So what that means is you have to do 2 hits to her before she'll take a damage. So if you only do one hit, so if you only get one hit on her, then you don't, then it doesn't matter. That hit isn't going to do a damage.
Mm-hmm. So the most resilient thing I have is the Zalak at the moment that I've opened, which is the, get this for a concept, Mike. It's a crazy octopus with a young kid attached to it, which has a clockwork key in the side of the octopus's head and a boiler attached to it as well. And the kid has a big sword in it, in her hand. I mean, that is just wrong.
That's very cool. Very cool. I mean, I have things that have resilience. Basically, all of my stuff is either resilience 1 or resilience 2.
Yes, that's the same as me.
But I do have quite a few wounds on things. You know, my basic troops have 1, but my werewolves have 2 wounds. My alphas have 3 wounds. And I think some of my big... guys have my blood engine has 6.
And what a cool model that is.
Oh, it's even cooler with the alt parts on it. The alt arm has a big sort of arm guard shoulder piece on it, which is awesome.
So my normal line 1 workers I've got 2 wounds.
So they've got 2 wounds, so
resilience and one.
So basically every hit, so you have to hit them twice, but every hit will do a wound. Yep. So you need some sort of wound counter. a wound marker or something to mark your...
Right. Should probably take a leaf out of the PP wound markers then. They have these sort of base hugger things with squares and wounds, health marked out on them or something like that, or small dice or whatever.
Or a little turny thing that you put next to the model that you turn.
Yeah, probably only you're probably fine with dice, aren't you? Small dice with the game, aren't you? Anyway.
Well, yeah, because D6s aren't going to get confused for other things. What's the thing that's got the most wounds for you?
I haven't opened my big box up, so I've still got shrink wrap stuff. So the controllers have got 3 wounds, but resilience 1. The defender, the galvanic defender, has got 3 wounds and 1. And I just really love that figure, the crazy rabbit hair monster thing with the old man. And the Union boss have got 3 wounds but resilience 1. So I haven't looked at the cages or anything like that or any of the other stuff.
All right. I have some. My most is 6. The blood engine has 6 and one of my werewolf characters has 6.
I'm going through the book now.
Mm. I mean, and the other thing that we should say about it, the rules in, so the rule book is, I think it's 250 odd pages long. The rules finish by page 24.
Yes.
The rules are, because everything's on the back of the cards and the way that it's written, the rules are very simple. It literally is, I activate a model, I move the model, I fight with the model. Or you can fight with the model and then move.
And they actually, you can do them in either, they actually start on page 4, the rules as well.
Yeah. You can do them in either order. And then that's it. That's what the rules is. There's
to 22. So there's 18 pages of rules, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's no need for lengthy hit charts and things, because it's all encapsulated in the one simple mechanic.
Yep. And the abilities for the units are on the card.
Yeah.
Even though we do have... there's a faction section for each.
Yep, there's stories and everything for each.
I've started to read the fluff. I'm enjoying it. There's a lot of typos in it, I've noticed. I was a little bit disappointed when I got to my bit of fluff pre my Technis, because they're sort of... But I understand why they've gone that way. They've sort of got this Russian-y accent, haven't they?
I haven't read... I've read the rules, that's it.
The book, I think, is cheaper produced than the Relic Knight ones from a binding perspective, but I still think it's quite nice.
Maybe. It's glossy paper, etc.
And I do love the style of artwork in there. It's just different, isn't it?
The art is nice. The art is nice, right. I like it. The other thing that we should say, it's not a let's go kill my opponent game.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but it isn't.
So you have...
Motivations,
yes.
So each
army has a starting morale value, isn't that? Isn't that right? Dependent on number of figures and things like that. And the idea is to reduce the morale of your opponent's army?
Well, it depends what you're playing.
Oh, okay.
So in the motivation section, each faction has... two types of motivation that they do. So Gorizi, for example, are into intrigue and treachery.
I have greed and treachery.
Ah, so I have intrigue and treachery. So you look up intrigue and treachery, and then intrigue has three things. So it has disrupt supply line, gather intelligence, and no confidence.
Greed has land grab, treasure hunt, and personal gain.
So after you've chosen your force, you select one motivation.
Yep.
So you choose what motivation you want to do against your particular opponent. And they can be things like, place objective markers or, some of the good, the nice armies have things like...
We'll need some objective markers, Mike.
We will. And they're all different sizes as well.
You might need a 5-inch measuring widget for deployment zones as well.
Might do. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? So they've got, there's all these things that make it not just about killing. Depending on the size of a game that you're playing, the leadership of your leader models
changes.
Is different. Yep. And the leadership of your leader models determines how many models they can activate when they do the come hither thing that we were talking about earlier, that determines how many models that you can activate in that.
It goes from 3 at the intro level to 7, the battle level.
Yeah. And the reason for that is obviously you get more
bigger stuff.
Yeah. So I think there's going to be quite a lot of force balance. Because the amount of individual unit types at the moment is very small. How many are there for my lot?
Should probably mention it's a complete pre-measuring game as well.
It is a complete pre-measuring game. Well, how many have I got? I've got...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think there's only 3 infantry types. Yes, I've got 3 infantry types. I've got War Dancers, Scorza Skirmishers, and Ravenscar Mercenaries. And then you have Specialists, and you have...
Leaders.
So my Blood Engine, for example, which is my big 80mm Gribbly, is a Specialist. Nestra Nostralo. Oh, it might be Hestra, actually. That might be an H. It might be Hestra. She's a leader and a character. But then some of the other ones... So I have another vampire character called Gregario Don Cesoro. He's a character, but also a specialist.
So he would be special with that name.
He falls into the specialist thing. And then I've got a shield breaker, who's a big armoured... werewolf. You need to get eights or more to harm him, because seven down is armor.
I've got union workers as infantry, defender linemen as infantry, and I've got the Rugrats as well, the Adani brood warriors as infantry.
Yeah, I think everyone's got three infantry types, and you know, and then a selection of specialists and
your six wound model. What's its resilience?
One.
Okay, so I've got the equivalent with three wounds, but resilience two. So that's going to be the same, really, isn't it?
Well,
from a stats point of view, no, I understand that, but it's essentially six wounds as well, isn't it?
Well, in a different way,
yes.
I mean, it's like. Two resilience basically means that if someone only does one hit to you,
they don't get wounded.
Then there's no hit at all. Yeah. Whereas six wounds, you know, and one resilience means any hit is going to chip off where your wounds.
Yep. So have you read any of the fluff so far?
I haven't read any of the fluff. I've read three chapters
and I've enjoyed it. I especially enjoyed the Hadros chapter so far. Titan teeth. I love that saying.
Yeah. I am actually interested in putting paint on the models, though. Unlike the Relic Knights.
I've got to admit, I can't wait to paint the Rabbit Man, the Galvanite, the Defender. I've been looking at the cage picture last week, and I'm thinking, oh, that looks interesting as well. The figures look as though they're going to be fun to paint, basically. So because they're completely different, you know.
I am looking forward to them. Very different color schemes from stuff that I've painted. I mean, the Garizia, you know, if you go with the traditional color schemes, are going to be very sort of Games Workshop dark elf type, purples, blacks, and golds, which I don't paint a lot of. So I'm quite looking forward to that. Sitting down and doing them. So. Good. We have rabbited on for over half an hour about Wrath of Kings.
I've got 10 more piggies to do before I can have a game. So,
well, and the basic level.
At the basic level, or I could go away and do what Slayer Nige has done, and he seems to have picked a force with a minimum number of troops. And I did ask him, you know, is this because of the building? And he said, partly, but he's obviously meted it already in terms of looking at the stuff. But he's got Hadros, and he just loves his fishmen.
See, I haven't done any meta at all. No. I have no idea.
I just want to put stuff on the table.
I'm just going
to
put models on the table.
and I'll be going,
wee!
Like that.
And I'll be going, I want to drink your blood. And, ow!
Is that because you have uncomfortable furniture to sit on?
Yes. Est went and bought everything from this very strange, weird Swedish designer called Sven.
Sven Botti Hurts.
That would be sore.
Sven Botti Hurts.
All right. Should we go?
Probably, yeah.
All right, then. Until next time. I've been
Mike. I've been Conrad. I've been
Bye-bye.
Conrad. Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.